Blog Talk Radio.
Monet, your left foot.
The merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to welcome all of you back to Conscious Black Nation and greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, man.
Thank you, thank you. And, of course, like I said, welcome back to Conscious Black Nation. And tonight's topic is home is where the heart is. Am I my brother's and sister's keeper? And, you know, there's no one better to bring such an intriguing topic to the airwaves other than our dear, devoted and loving and supportive and considerate and kind and epitome of an FOI brother, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. And how are you this evening?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. I dare not complain.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are indeed due to Allah. And thank you for that presentation as I strive continually each day to live up to that thoughts. As we are with you. Are we still on? My goodness. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. Okay, continue.
I'm still here, sir.
All right, all praise is due to Allah. Something must have happened to Queen Aziza's phone. But as I was saying, we strive to serve, because if we're not serving, then there's no point in us. We're a waste of breath. I'm like, Queen Aziza, you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. My phone dropped for some reason.
I understand. It's well, that's all right. We're here, and we're going to do this. And again, thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve in this fashion. All praise is due to Allah. Well,
yes, sir. The honor is mine.
We want to, before we, you know, we don't waste any time here at Nation Building Network. We also definitely don't waste time here on Conscious Black Nation. I would like to have my brother, our brother. Is that Brother Rodney, correct?
Yes, that's Brother Rodney F. Faison. The one who got his shirt on. I'm just teasing. If you see that picture I put up of him on Facebook today, my brother suited and booted, he looking good. Yes. That's how Brother Rodney.
Well, Brother Rodney, if you...
You changing that picture, Sister Aziza. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate you sending me one, brother.
Well, Brother Rodney, if you would present yourself to our audience, please.
Sure. I first of all do want to see refuge in Allah. It's very, very simple. I'm from Pompano Beach, Florida. I even was introduced to these conference calls back in 2011 by my cousin, Brother Jahad Amos Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. He just kind of gave me an opportunity, a platform to just kind of give my thoughts on just my own personal circumstances and what I could do to not only make things better for myself, but for my family, my community, and, you know, eventually one day my world. It was just an opportunity that I jumped at. I stayed with BYC. As a result of being on the conference calls and doing the interviews, I was introduced to the Nation of Islam, and my very first reaction was just, I felt like this had been hidden from me my entire life. I was never really given the opportunity to just kind of look at life this way. And, you know, it's been in a very interesting journey over the last 3 years, just being introduced on the lines and getting a chance to just participate in these type of discussions. But it definitely has changed my life, and I can see the growth in myself. So just your brother, have two hands and are willing to help. So it's not even just about me being on these lines and just talking, but practical application is what it really boils down to for me. So that's I guess that kind of sums up where I am with this and just and what I look to bring to this, if you will. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All praises are indeed due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Rodney.
And Brother James has joined us as well.
All praises. Mr. James Muhammad, Brother James. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem, Brother Ronnie, and Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Please forgive me. As I shared with you earlier, dear Queen, you know, I was a bit tired being in the field all day, which is kind of rough in Florida. It is indeed the sunshine state, at least in this season, right now. So I was a little tired, but I saw your call and I immediately got on. Very happy to join you. Very happy and honored to be a part of this discussion. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. All praises due to Allah. Well, as you said, we don't waste any time around here. And so that being the case, I do need to also seek refuge in Allah. And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who indeed came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. In the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, indeed his last and greatest messenger, the Exalted Christ. And I say that because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself stated, after me comes God. That was his word. And therefore, in the name of their divine reminder in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet everyone once again in the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And we're going to kick this horse and get it started. And as always, we want to open with a foundation, a scriptural basis for our discussion tonight, which is, home is where the heart is. Am I my brother, sister's keeper? And I would answer, yes, I am my brother and my sister's keeper. However, we will start with the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, starting in Surah or Chapter 4, entitled The Women, Ayat or Verse 94, wherein Allah states, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, we seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O you who believe, when you go forth to fight in Allah's way, make investigation and say not to anyone who offers you salutation, thou art not a believer, seeking the good of this world's life, but with Allah there are abundant gains. You too were such before. Then Allah conferred a benefit on you. So make investigation. Surely Allah is ever aware of what you do. Then going to Surah or Chapter 14, entitled Abraham, wherein Allah states, I, Allah, am the seer. A book which we have revealed to thee, that thou mayest bring forth men by their Lord's permission from darkness into light, to the way of the mighty, the praised one, of Allah, whose is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And woe to the disbelievers for the severe chastisement. Those who love this world's life more than the hereafter and turn away from Allah's path and would have it crooked, those are far astray. And we sent no messenger but with the language of his people so that he might explain to them clearly. Then Allah leaves in error whom he pleases, and he guides whom he pleases, and he is the mighty, the wise. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Moving right along, the book of Genesis from the Bible, King James Version, chapter 4, starting in verse 3. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Secondly, we want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And you can do the entire reading yourself. It's verses 31 through 46. However, what we want to focus on in that chapter is here, starting in verse 41, wherein it states, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And he that is speaking according to the Bible is the Son of Man. Lastly, we want to go to 1 John. And that is chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, wherein it states, If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? All praise is due to Allah. And so, now we're going to move right on into this. And I'm going to come to you first, Brother James, to Mr. James Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. In our lessons, in what we have, which what is called the Supreme Wisdom, there is a section entitled Original Rules of Instructions to the Laborers. And in that, based on our subject tonight, point number 11 states this, Brothers and sisters, you all get busy and help to arise the dead nation and place them on top of civilization. My dearest desire is to give everyone his or her own. It then states, I do not want importance among the officials nor the laborers. Do not do other than yourself. Do not take on mixed instructions other than our assignment. Now, based on our topic tonight, and I just want to lay some ground, home is where the heart is. Am I my brother and my sister's keeper? From that statement given to us by the Savior himself. We're looking at, I've experienced this myself. So many individuals taking these titles so seriously, yet not putting forth the effort to actually, one, help those in the house who are struggling, but then also being out in the street and seeing the poor brother, the poor sister, turning a blind eye to them. Why is this? That's why I shared that. I want to get your view on that. Why are so many missing the mark when it comes to what our duty is, which is the resurrection of the dead?
Well, dear brother, and first of all, I wish to invoke the name of Allah and ask for his help. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but he. And we are thankful to Almighty God Allah for making his presence known to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and then he making him known to us all. Of course, we thank Allah for raising up the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and evolving him stage after stage until he reached his ultimate perfection. We knew him as Messenger of Allah in the initial stages of his mission, then from Messenger of Allah to Messiah. Messiah, the one whom the world had been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. And then from Messiah to exalted Christ, that one who sits at the right hand of God and becomes the instrument of the execution of the will, mind, power of Almighty God, and sits over all of creation and everything and everyone in creation with the exception of the God himself, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we can never thank Allah who, through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we can never thank him enough, who, through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he fashioned and shaped and prepared one for this critical and prophetic hour at which we have arrived. And, of course, the hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of both the wicked and the righteous, and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, giving due salutation, mention, and salutation in their names. I'm very happy to greet you all once again with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Now, having put Allah out front, as we should always do, because none of us are anything, nor do any of us have anything to say except that Allah, by his mercy and grace, gives us that which we have to say in representation of him and his message through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. First, I want to say, dear brother, that those who have titles, and of course the best titles are brother or sister, mm-hmm. and the best titles or title is Muslim. But those of us who have titles to identify a particular function, we must all remember that we are students practicing the function that the title indicates. We're not there yet. And as students, we are allowed to practice our labor, but in practicing, we must remember that we're going to make mistakes. And since we haven't perfected the mastery of the function that the title that we wear indicates, then we're going to sometimes, as you said, Brother Kareem, miss the mark. Allah God, out of his mercy, manifested in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and continued in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He allows us to practice our labor, to make mistakes under the title, the pre-qualifying title, student. So we are student ministers. We are student brother captains, student sister captains, or student FOI coordinators, student MGT coordinators, student secretaries. Well, the point is made. We're students. So we make mistakes. Not only that, dear brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced us to the wonderful tool of the science of mental health, modern science of mental health and healing, which is Dianetics. And in our study and practice of Dianetics, we learn that there are many what is referred to as engramic, engramic characters that we have developed as a result of what we have experienced in life. Black man and woman in particular possessing a group engram, or as Jesus referred to them as demons, as a result of the transatlantic slave experience. As black people, we must remember, and I'm taking a little time with this, I hope you don't mind, but we need to take a little time so that we can understand the manifestation of what you have just described. And perhaps in our understanding, we won't rush to judgment of anyone who seems to miss the mark. We as a people, robbed from our native land and people, and then reduced to not only being subhuman, but sub-animal. We were reduced to something lower than the animals. We became chattel or personal property with no rights whatsoever, not even the right to father and to care for children that we were forced to go into our women and produce. We were just baby-making machines to increase the product of slaves for the slave master. There were many things that occurred in the process of making a slave. Many things, psychological and systematic and traumatic methodology that reduced us to a subhuman level, one of which was to never, ever have any respect or recognition by our fellow brothers and sisters, and certainly not by the slave master. The slave master made all of the slaves look only, trust only, obey only, and respect only him. Now, after 379 years of this, dear brother, a condition was achieved, and that condition rendered us in a condition where our egos were so fragile, so destroyed, so in need, that we really, really just wanted to be recognized. We begin to love position more than we love money. We begin to love fame, notoriety, more than we love wealth. Because no one ever recognized us. No one ever respected us. No one ever obeyed us. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we couldn't call the dog and he responds. What you're witnessing in those of us who are students practicing our labor is the residual effect of this condition, and therefore we miss the mark because we want to be recognized, respected, revered more than we wish to perform a service that perhaps would humble us under the ones that we were taught or sent or raised to serve. So we miss the mark, as you say. Now that just touches some of the reason why you see these things happening in the Nation of Islam. And you see abuse, suppression, and oppression from the quote-unquote laborers. We must understand, dear brother, we're dealing with a condition of insecurity, inferiority, and that has been amplified by, again, the psychological methodology of the enemy, most prominently found in the Willie Lynch syndrome. And I'm not going to go into all of what the Willie Lynch syndrome is, but I would offer or encourage that those of us who are listening, please, to research it and study. And now I'm going to close on this. There's so much to this question and this problem, Brother Kareem. But we have to also remember that self-love was forbidden. We could not love self. In fact, if we expressed any love for self, then the slave master would severely punish us. If the mother expressed love for her child over love and obedience to the slave master would sell the mother away from the child and sell the child away from the mother. So it was with the father. The enemy made us think it was a sin to respect, to love, to protect, to maintain, to keep, as you say in the theme of your show, our brother or our sister. Now you see the results of it. And we must remember as I close, whatever is on the outside of the nation, we can rest assured is on the inside of the nation, because those of us who are in the nation came from outside of the nation and we brought all of what was outside of the nation into the nation. The receiving of an extra or even a holy name is no indication that we have eradicated fully the problem, exercise ourselves of the demons, or, as we say in Dianetic terminology, the engram. So I'll close on that point, Brother Kareem. Thank you for allowing me to take the time to try to properly address your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. All praises are indeed due to Allah. And Brother Rodney, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you with us, brother. And I'm going to, and you can speak to question one if you'd like to. But I'm going to move on to question two, and I want to ask you this. Because you're out there in the community, You know, you're dealing with us day to day in a capacity of, as you said earlier, hands-on, practical application. Essentially in working hands-on to raise the dead, those who really have no clue. They haven't been introduced to any kind of teachings. And that being the case, my second question is, I'm going to ask you this is, why is it so hard for us to love and treat one another as brothers and sisters? I mean, in your view, you know, from what you see, your experience.
Well, Brother James did a phenomenal job of really just breaking it, you know, all the way down. The Willie Lynch concept certainly does come into play. But it's still, even with that, that's, for me, it's just, it still ends up being something that we got to challenge ourselves on, you know, to kind of put those differences, you know, aside. What makes it difficult for us to all just love each other is the, our differences. It's pretty much what it really boils down to. I saw, I was watching earlier today online about Donald Silver. I think that's his name. I'm not even sure of his name. But the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, and a lot's been made of the comments that the man was making. And when Sister Aziza called me earlier and told me of the topic today, for whatever reason, I just connected these dots. But it was hilarious to me when I actually listened to the man's interview. Well, his conversation, it wasn't an interview, it was a conversation he was having with his lady friend and how he felt about, you know, minorities of black people. And he just sounded to me like that in his mind was just the way that he looked at life. Like, listen, man, them people are just beneath us. They beneath you. They beneath me. I don't see why you should associate yourself with them. This is the class. These are the differences. This is how they look to group themselves. Like, if anything, he didn't sound as racist as he did salty to me. He just sounded jealous as hell. Like, he didn't want Magic to be throttling his old lady no more. It's pretty much what it really sounded like to me. But, like, just hearing the way that the man really looked at life, I'm telling you, I've seen it before, and I've actually said on the BYC line several times some of the worst racism that I have ever received in my entire life has come at the hands of other black people, straight up. And it's, yeah, we can say, okay, it's the Willie Lynch concept, and this is stuff that has been bred in us, but, I mean, the fact that we even on this line means that we've evolved to a state of mind where we are connected to our heritage. We are connected to our legacy, and it's something that just happens naturally. You understand? So why then, if we were able to make that transition, why do we find ourselves, you know, not only wandering around in the desert for 40 years, we've done it, what, it's 120 years later now, you know? And so it's just like it's taking us triple the time now to, you know, to get back on our feet. And I think the reason why is, yes, we've lived in the slave master's house for far too long and maybe forgotten a little bit about ourselves. And, yeah, we've let cultural differences as well as, you know, skin tone and just other forms of racism kind of creep into it. But all in all, what it really boils down to me is something that a white man actually said. Now, I worked as a sales manager, and the floor director was actually talking in a group meeting, and he spoke about me. And let me tell you how he described me now. He described me, he said, one of the reasons why I like Rodney as a manager is that he's not afraid to put his foot on their throat. Like, he's not afraid to really just put somebody in his place, in their place. Like, you know, I'm the boss, I'm the leader, it's how I say goes. So if I give Rodney something, Rodney's just going to give it back to them. The professional side of me loved what I was hearing. But as a young 28-year-old black male who worked for, you know, like I worked for my people is really what I looked at it as, because I was in charge of closing their deals. I was the difference between somebody getting paid commission and them not in a lot of cases. So, and it meant like I actually had to close. The responsibility was on me. But as a young black male, like that actually hurt my heart to know that that's how, you know, I treated my own people, which, you know, it just kind of made me even want to be better at my job. So I just feel like if I'm someone who's a babe in this faith, if you will, or this way of life, if you will, like, I guess I could say at this point, I feel that at 33 years old, I have, you know, at this point, I can say I'm at a state of consciousness that I didn't have before. So I can claim being awakened from the dead or a conscious slumber, right? So saying that I can acknowledge that being here, then I know if I can do it, I know this is something that we all can. So to answer your question, Brother Kareem, what's really keeping us from, you know, being able to love one another, brothers and sisters, are our own selves. It's our own perception. Yeah, there's some engrams that are in, locked in there and that are encoded in there, but, you know, perception comes from within. We see the world from within out, not out in, if that makes sense. Like, to further elaborate on that, we're looking out into the world, and how our brain processes the world is what we put on it, how we interpret that information that we're receiving, the intel, the intelligence that we have, is how we give and receive information. So we see the world from within. Perception comes from within. So it's us. It's our own personal hang-ups, the differences that we create that's stopping us from being able to communicate with our brothers and sisters in our neighborhood effectively. If that answers your question, my brother.
Well, praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. I mean, again, it's from your view, and that's what we're here to do. Because just as you said, I mean, that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on here at Nation Building Network. And I would like to say, particularly at Conscious Black Nation, is not just identifying an issue or a problem. After it's been identified, then actually providing the people, based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, based on that which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us and his exposition and his expanding on those very teachings, we want to offer something that each individual can use practically. As you said, practical application in their everyday life, because at the end of the day, when we get through talking and when we get through serving or doing what we can do, if we have not offered to the people something they can take into their everyday life and use it to solve any problem or to address any issues they have, it is just a waste of time. We blowing smoke, you know, and that's mm-hmm. not something I'm going to do, you know. So, no, sir, all praise to what you said is, like I said, it's your view, and it's accurate the way I see it myself. Now, Queen Aziza, I know you're there.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All praise due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Before we look into the chat room or check out the phones, you know, I would like you, like I said, you know me, I'm all about balance.
Oh, Allah. Okay, what's the question,
I mean,
Brother Kareem?
Okay, I'm gonna leave those first two alone. I'm not gonna put you on the hot seat. I'm gonna go to question number three.
Okay.
However, if you are so inclined to respond
no, I'm
to
not.
Question one and two,
no, I'm not.
Okay, I'm going to go to question number three. Question number three is, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? You know, that's simple.
Wow. Well, I guess, I think the question would be easier to ask who's not your brother. You know, I know Al Sharpton has this saying, you know, all your skin folks ain't your kin folks and all your color ain't your kind. But, you know, I think as we go through life day to day and we interact with people, you have what Allah has blessed us with. You have an instinct. Children have it. Grown people have it. We're just born with this instinct. It's easy for us to be deceived because we as a people have long been deceived. But everybody that is within your ethnicity group, history proves that that's not necessarily your brother. Your brother is one who loves you unconditionally, that has your back, that looks out for you, that supports you, that encourages you, that uplifts you, you know, that stands with you when everything else is against you. And that's what brotherhood and sisterhood is for. And unfortunately, a lot of people who look like ourselves are in opposition of us because they also suffer from a lack of knowledge. And so it is more so about the individual and the character that really declares who is your brother or your sister. Like, for instance, I have a friend named Angela. Now, she's Caucasian, but I call her my sister. She called me her sister, and that's because we have that relationship. I've discussed with her about her nature, you know, the nature of her people. And instead of her retaliating against me, she really just sat there and listened. And we just have a wonderful friendship and that sisterly type bond. And not to mention that my family is every color of the rainbow, so I don't have the room to be prejudiced because of I have nieces and great nieces and great great nieces who are of Caucasian persuasion and every other kind of race. But it is about the character of the individual and how we treat one another that determines who is your brother. You have people in your family that will cut your throat. That doesn't mean just because there's a biological connection that that's your brother. So those that love you in turn, as you love them, those that respect you and who support you and uplift you and have your back, that those are your brothers and sisters. That's what I'm
yes,
like.
Ma'am. Wa alaikum salam. All praises due to Allah. Thank you very, very much. And now with this same question, I'm gonna go around the table, we had a table. I'm gonna go around the table, Brother James, Student Minister James Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna bring that same question to you in your view.
Well, dear brother, our sister Queen Aziza, she makes an excellent point, and it stands true, and obviously it can be proven at no limit of time by just living and interacting.
That's right.
As black people here in America. There are two aspects, according to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the first of which is the aspect of natural affinity, natural relationship. Allah God, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, declared that we are all, the 17 million at the time of the writing, with the 2 million Indians, Muslims. So that makes us brothers and sisters. At the time of the writing, it was 17 million with the 2 million Indians. Of course, today is 50 million or more. I don't know factually how many so-called Indians or Native Americans are here. The first aspect is natural. He declared that we are naturally related, naturally brothers and sisters. The teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad focus on not treating each other as we are and as we currently act, because as we are, how we are, and as we currently act is as a result of the imposition of the enemy's mind in us. When the God came, he knew what he would encounter. The Bible really describes us very well in Ezekiel as God is given the Son of Man his instructions. Call us, all but a snake-like people, a rebellious people, a disobedient people. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said very simply, a people easily led in the wrong direction, hard to be led in the right direction, poor slaves of mental death and power, poison animal eaters. I mean, we're in some tough shape. But Allah God knew what he would encounter. Yet, the question is posed in the lessons. Are there any Muslims other than righteous? Response was and is, I beg your pardon, I haven't heard of any, or I haven't heard of one. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gives us a deeper understanding of that in stating that the words, I beg your pardon, actually refer to Allah God's merciful and gracious intervention in our affairs, and then begging for our pardon, begging our pardon as a result of the condition we were in and, of course, are in. Now, the second aspect, not to take too much time, is that which Sister Aziza was referencing, which is absolutely the truth as well, and it's scripturally supported in the Bible, wherein they were telling Jesus, Jesus, your brother, your mother, and your sister wait without, meaning without Jesus was in the temple teaching. And they were telling him that your family, biological family, was waiting for you without or outside of the temple. Then, of course, Jesus' response, as well recorded in the scriptures, is, my brother, my mother are in the temple doing my father's work. So this underscores what our dear sister, Aziza, so eloquently and passionately shared with us. These both aspects are absolutely true, the first of which gives us time because we have the natural affinity and Allah's mercy as a result of that which we can become potentially because it's our nature. The second of which is the judgment. That is to say, after the grace period of mercy is given and expired, then that second aspect comes in. But both are accurate. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And Brother Rodney.
Naturally, I want to say, you know, black people, you know, are my brothers, but I'm be honest, niggas and crackers stopped having colors for me a long, long time ago.
Hey, go ahead, Brother Roger.
Like, the way that I really have to look at it, I'm being so sincere right now. The way that I honestly look at it is Surah 110, the help, says, when Allah's help and victory comes and thou seest men entering the religion of Allah in companies, celebrate the praise of thy Lord and ask his protection. Surely he is ever returning to mercy. The reason why I pull that up is because anybody that I meet, any man, woman, or child on this planet is my brother and sister. All right? Until some action, either mine or theirs, determines otherwise.
Yes,
pretty much. It's not simply, I can't make it any simpler than that.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. I mean, everything that I've heard, everything that all of you have shared, Queen Aziza, Brother James, and you, Brother Rodney, I mean, right on point. It's right in time with our topic. And again, I'll repeat what our topic is. Home is where the heart is. Am I, or I should say I am, my brother slash sister's keeper, or sister slash brother's keeper, whichever order a person wishes to take that in. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me for interrupting you, dear brother. I shared with Queen Aziza that I could only be on for the first hour. But I wanted to ask Brother Ronnie, you know, dear brother, we have met, haven't we?
Yes, sir. We've met several times.
Yes, sir.
That's Brother Rodney.
Oh, Rodney. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, brother.
He knows
like
me,
it.
Though, when he sees me.
I know. I'm sorry, brother. Please, you know, I'm having a senior moment, brother. That's all. See, when you reach age 65, you can use that as an excuse. You know, but look, I'd like to get to know you better, brother. I'd like to talk to you more often. All right?
All praise be to Allah, brother. No. I actually want to say thank you. That actually means a lot to me. And when you and I get to talk, you'll understand why.
Well, praise be to Allah. Do you have my number?
Yeah, I got you. No worries. I'll call you.
All right, brother. Well, I have to go. Brother Kareem, please forgive me and excuse me, Sister Aziza, please, and Brother Rodney. But I have to go.
I understand.
And may Allah bless you for this wonderful subject matter.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for participating.
All praise is due to Allah. It's my honor and privilege. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. All right, well, we thank Brother James for being here with us, and we understand he had to go. We thank him. We thank Allah for his participation and his answers. Now, we're almost at the top of the hour for the second hour of the show, and keeping in line with practice that I started a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to now announce some sponsors for Conscious Black Nation and indeed for the Nation Building Network. First sponsor, Kareem's Construction, providing excellent service in the areas of room addition, remodeling, new construction, roofing, plumbing, electrical, handyman services, tile, concrete, waterproofing. You can reach Kareem's Construction at 314-651-1094. We also have Amin Holistic Health Center. The thought is the act is the fact. You receive guidance in the following areas: better health through nutrition, success through faith and works, spiritual progress, conquering addictions, aromatherapy and herbology, never getting sick again. You can contact Amin Holistic Health Center at 314-616-2060. And last but certainly not least, Master Pizza. That's Master Pizza. Pizza spelled P-I-E-Z-A. at 2846 Cherokee Street. Best pizza on the planet, handmade, and yes, halal. Investing in a healthier community from scratch. All right, now that we've done that, paid some bills, we're going to move right on into the second hour of our program. And I'm going to come to you now, Brother Rodney. And, well, first what I want to do is I want to define or clear some words as the terminology is used. The first word is the word home. Home is defined as one's place of residence, the social unit formed by a family living together, a familiar or usual setting, a place of origin, relaxed and comfortable. From the Sanskrit word kesema, habitable. The word is defined as present third singular of the word be. And for those who are not familiar with, you know, the grammatical terms, is defined as to equal in meaning, have the same connotation or value as, to have a specified qualification or character. And then the word heart is defined as intellect, the emotional or moral nature of, center or focus of, from the Latin cord, that which binds. And so our topic, which is home, is where the heart is. Am I my brother or sister's keeper? And moving forward from there and building on just your last response, my brother, as you said, anyone whom I come in contact with on the planet is my brother or sister, like you said, until, based on either their actions or mine, we find that we don't have that connection. And I like that. I mean, that's just real. Because going back to also what Queen Aziza said, I mean, I have met many, many individuals. I mean, I should preface that by saying so I was born and raised in the Nation of Islam. And I'll be very honest, you know, about that. When I was coming up as a junior FOI, you know, I couldn't stand Caucasians. I didn't care. I mean, I didn't really know any. But as far as I was concerned, if you were Caucasian, had nothing for you. You know, and really anybody of any other quote-unquote race, as they are called, you know, my complete and total focus was on us as a people, period. Now, of course, living life and in coming in contact with other human beings and having associations and actually, like I say, living life and actually being exposed to reality, not being sheltered. I came to find out things were, a lot of the things that I thought and how I viewed things were completely inaccurate. They were completely inaccurate, and I had a very skewed vision where other human beings were concerned. And even right up to today, you know, I find, and it's sad to say this, and even among those who say that they're Muslim, and I mean, but I have to be honest about it, I have found individuals who are Caucasians who treat me better than a lot of individuals who say they're my brother and my sister. And I'm talking about in the faith, you know? I mean, it's just, that's real.
It happens all the time, for real.
Yeah, that's real, you know? And I mean, and for a long time, I held out that hope, you know? And as you were saying earlier, I understand. I have studied the Willie Lynch syndrome. You know, the letter, and then looking at the syndrome itself. And it's, as a matter of fact, a lot of individuals may not know this, and I'm going to say this, I don't want to get off topic. Well, if you go back, George Clinton produced an album called Funkadelicky versus the Placebo Syndrome, okay? And if you go back and actually listen to that song, with the information we have now based, you know, on the Willie Lynch syndrome, You can see that, I mean, whether he intentionally did it or not, the brother was talking about exactly that. But he put it to music, you know. And, I mean, that's just something I'm putting out there. I mean, and then maybe that's just my view on it. But if anybody gets a chance, check it out and see. You know, I mean, I saw that. And I say that to say that, like you were saying earlier, at this point, regardless of the Willie Lynch syndrome, regardless of the 379 years of programming, regardless of the engrams, once we have come into this knowledge, into this information, if we are sincerely practicing it, then for all intents and purposes, we should be killing that, at least in ourselves, and have better behavior among ourselves. You know, I mean, and again, that would just be my view on it. But what I want to do is now I'm going to come to the fourth question, and it's a little long, but I think you'll see the content of it because I have some other things to share on that. The fourth question is based in what we read from the book of 1 John, and that was the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. But now the question is this. How can I love God whom I have never seen and hate, and I added a few things so it would be clear, and hate, lie to, abuse, cheat, mistreat, walk by when in need, my brother, sister, mother, father, daughter, son, family who I see every day? You know, I'm asking you, but how can I say I love God and just, you know, and have that kind of behavior?
I'm going to say it's an overzealous spirit. I don't want to, you know, just say that, you know, he or she would be an enemy. Like, looking at the... again, going back to the gentleman, Donald Silver, the owner of the Clippers.
His name is Sterling. I know who you're talking about.
Sterling, that's what it is. Yeah, I said Silver. Sorry. Yeah, I knew it was a connection.
No. It took me a minute.
Right. Donald Sterling, my bad. All right. So, but yeah, just going back to that gentleman and that reference. Where was I going with that? So just look at it this way. So if in the conversation with his girlfriend, he's telling her, like, I don't have any issues with, you know, with these people. If you want to, he even tells her if she wants to sleep with them, she can. He's saying that he didn't want her to bring them out in, you know, in public. And in his mind, it was just because it was a social faux pas. It was what he was trying to spin it off to her as. But I'm telling you, like, man to man, Brother Kareem, he just sounded like he was a little salty. You feel me? He didn't want, you know, he just didn't want the man throttling his old lady. And it probably just made him worse, just knowing that, okay, you supposed to be my mistress and it's Magic Johnson. And this is somebody that I'm basically God to. You feel me? I clothed him. I gave him, you know, money for cars and all of these. I made him the celebrity that you admire, and it's basically how he looked at it. And in some areas, you know, given the opportunity, given the circumstance, I can see where his mind was going. You know what I mean? But because it's such a primitive way of thinking, and, you know, and again, I know this man is taking a lot for what he's saying. And again, just listening to him, he just sound lame because he was jealous. I'm telling you, that's what it really sound like to me. But just in the way that we as a society operate, you know, this man is making some very valid points that cannot be ignored. You know what I mean? So for me, it's just more of just the overzealous spirit, the someone trying to implement, you know, something that has a characteristic about themselves that has helped them to get through and navigate through life. They're using those concepts and just, you know, they're presenting this information to others. So in that way, that's where the communication breaks down. And in that, that's where our problem lies. It's funny, you know, I hate that he's not on the line anymore and I got to do him like this. But Brother James and I, when I first met him, you know, Brother Jahad can actually, he can bear witness to this. I had to do interviews on the BYC line. And so I never spent an extended amount of time with anyone that any of the guests that we had on. I would always talk to them for maybe about 15 minutes or so. But Brother Jahad told me a little bit about Brother James ahead of time, and I had known that I was going to do this interview like a couple weeks in advance. So by the time I got Brother James on the line, I wanted to ask him a few questions. I wanted to go through a few things with him, and I didn't do my normal format of, like, you know, pre-conference call interview. And I actually was on the phone with him for about 30 minutes. And I presented to him a circumstance, a scenario, and I tell you, he read the situation. He gave me his opinion immediately. He was very firm in it. He told me exactly what he thought that I should, what I should do. And I'm going to tell you, I took his advice. I took it with a grain of salt because Brother Jahad can tell you, I was very offended. I'm like, man, hold up. You don't even know me. Like, how you made that assessment that quick? But it was on me. I'm the one that asked him for his opinion, you know, and it was me that, you know, kind of brought the information, you know, to him and created this whole circumstance. And I maybe might not have given the information to him the correct way. There could have been some engrams in there for why he gave me the answer that he gave me. But, you know, I still was just like, man, what the hell? This man don't even know me. But I told Brother Jahad, you know, I told him, I'm like, cuz, you know, you already kind of told me about him and who he is. And so I didn't want, I knew as much that there was protocol. There was a way that I should go about, you know what I mean? There was a way that I should go about I guess that discrepancy. It was a way, it would be a time and a place, an opportunity for me to present that. But when I tell you, the man just kind of dismissed me, and then just now he didn't even really, you know, he didn't know my name, and he met me so many times. But I realized that it wasn't that he, you know, I could sit back and be offended by Brother James, or I could be offended by, you know, my interaction with him, or, you know, be offended by the fact that he's met me so many times here and he doesn't know me, and then my initial interaction with him. And I could easily be offended by all that stuff, but honestly, I realized that, you know, it was just the content of the conversation. It was the context, excuse me, of the conversation. It was the time that I gave it in. It was kind of rushed. I looked, not saying I'm making excuses for him, but, you know, this is, in my mind, how I am my brother's keeper. This is how, you know, I can live, or I can give you the practical application of Surah 110, you know, and actually be that help. It's because I realize what my brother is really trying to do. So if any, you know, like at the end of every speech or every time the minister speaks to us, you know, he ends it, if I've offended you, you know, he apologizes for that. It was not my intention. So I just realized that, you know, when we communicate with one another, sometimes we're just a little overzealous in our approach, you know, but it does go back to, you know, what I said before, perception comes from within. So a lot of times we're going to lead with the information that means the most to us. We're going to, you know, kind of give the advice that has worked for us or what we've been able to put into practical application. So hopefully that kind of just like answers the question, but it's just it's an overzealous spirit, I think, that kind of is what's really over. Some of us are just too quick to give our own personal view of things and not realizing that there's a completely different concept of, or way of thinking than just what we have. And then sometimes we may be a little too sensitive on the information that we receive as well. So just an overzealous spirit.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, if you have a question or comment that you want to interject, please press one on your dial pad, and we'll be more than happy to take your question. Was there something else you wanted to say before I take questions, Brother Kareem?
No, ma'am. That's what I was coming to you to ask you about any questions or comments.
Yes, we have a question from a distinguished gentleman from Florida. I'm not going to call his name, but y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, he said, why would Jesus handpick Judas to be his helper when it was revealed to him beforehand that he would betray him? And
well,
you know, questions that deep only come to one person,
know the
right?
I already know who asked that question.
Brother Rodney, I'm going to let you feel that first. Then I'm going to come. I have an answer, but I would like for you to feel that first as our guest.
I've actually answered it one time. I'm looking for that answer because I actually had a few moments to kind of sit back and think about that answer and took a few moments and actually typed that out. So if you will, just give me a few seconds.
Sure, bro. Go right ahead. No problem. Not at all. See, again, this is conscious black nation. So we want, like I say again, we want practical. We want to know, you know.
Where is it? All right. You know what? I'm really not finding it. It might take me a little bit to get that one. But it was asked. That question was asked to me. I'm going to go ahead and just call him out. He's trying to fake me right now. That's Brother Jahad.
Wow. Okay.
But it's okay. Why we both on our same path. So we both got our own path. We just rocking in the same direction. But he's flanking me right now. But they give the answer to it. To give the answer to that question, the reason, that one is very, very simple. I think this is the reason why Jesus, you know, is such a special person. He's a prophet. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God, whoever, however you want to live. But this is one of the reasons why I feel that he was such a good example, because he knew the purpose that Judas had. And it was really, he knew what his purpose was in life. And knowing in his purpose, he knew what Judas's purpose was in his life, if that makes sense. So it's just like if I'm playing a game of checkers or chess, or if I'm playing spades, any game where you're playing against someone or you have a partner, there's always a strategy to that game. There's always an end result. And sometimes you have to use pawns in checkers in chess, or in spades, we call it laying off, where you a player suit, but you a player low card in that suit, because you know that your partner is leading just by some cues that your partner gives you when he or she plays. So it's just, it's to me more than anything, it's just that he knew what Judas's what his purpose was in his life. And Judas's betrayal of him was only going to catapult him to the next phase of his life, that crucifixion, which was, again, his purpose for being here, because he was of an incorruptible spirit, but yet he still found himself in the fate that he did.
Yes.
And you know, Brother Kareem, we have the culprit behind the question on the phone. And he actually volunteered. So hey, that's a rare treat. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jihad.
Oh, praise
you
to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother. Brother, yeah,
no,
I didn't know that
away,
was.
Man.
How you
going to
pose that
away.
Question? Allah, Wakba.
Allah, Wakba.
I seek refuge
I'm
with Allah from the rejected Satan. Yes, sir. I seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. The reason I asked that question, you know, I mean, you know, Jesus, may Allah, well, Allah will, Allah is pleased with Jesus, and we know that.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, Jesus representing the all-wise God, one would ask the question, how can one who represents an all-wise God be unwise in his choice of disciples?
Come on.
He chose Doubting Thomas. He chose Peter, who later denied him. He chose the cowards who forsook him and fled after he was arrested. And then he chose Judas, who betrayed him for silver, not gold, for a cheap price. And then he had some secret disciples who was on the flank of the 12 disciples, who weren't permitted, who were not permitted to intermingle with the 12. But these two disciples, secret disciples, was on the flank of the 12, and they was the one who came and got the body after it appeared to them that he was dead. And they took it to a tomb where no body had ever been laid. I mean, can you imagine someone building a funeral home and not conducting business out of the funeral home, but awaiting for a body or a baby to be born and to die, to be laid to rest there, according to the scriptures. Now, my question was going to be, after that question, if Judas was predestined to betray Jesus, was it predestined for him to commit suicide when the commandments speak against suicide?
Hmm. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Having the knowledge of good and evil is one thing. Being able to decipher between the two is another. But being able to apply what you've learned is the difference. And that's what will set you on the path to true greatness. That's the difference between Jesus and Judas. Jesus was able to decipher between the good and evil. He saw even that evil in Judas, that greed that Judas had, you know, for wanting, like Brother James spoke about, wanting the fame, wanting to be in the spotlight, wanting the money. Just, you know, being more interested in the coin in the fish's mouth than the sustenance that we get from the fish itself. Like, looking at life and approaching our brothers and our sisters that way, approaching them like they're the dead, approaching them like the ones that, you know, we need to lift up so that we can be the nation that we want to, just treating them just like, you know, they are some type of epidemic, and we're the cure. And in fact, it's, you know, it's that overzealous way of thinking that got Judas in the position that he was in. He just started himself on a path that he couldn't control. And in the end, that was his end result, because this is what the knowledge of good and evil brought to him. That was the end result. That was the conclusion. This is the conclusion of his thought process. Damn, like, I really done messed this up. Like, I, you know, here it is that Jesus, you know, he, this whole time I feel like I got played. I ain't even know that it was me that I was, like, I was harming my family or harming my brother. Look at the evil that I've done. And I've gotten to a point where I don't even think I should live anymore because of what I've done. Because if he really was born like that, and, you know, like if his mind had really went left, he would have never been able to make that reconciliation. He wouldn't have seen it as a sin. That's the reason why he caught the demise that he did, because he didn't realize that he was already set on a path. But when Allah sets you on a path, nobody can take you off of that. We all know that, and that's the difference. That's what Jesus understood that Judas didn't understand. Jesus knew that this was redemption for him. That's why I said earlier that he was of that incorruptible spirit. So it's just having the knowledge of good and evil, being able to decipher between the two, but then also being able to apply what you learned is the difference between the two of them, and that's the reason why he committed that sin of killing himself. But it's only because he realized that he had been set on that path that Allah had created for him. And if Allah didn't want him to kill himself, he wouldn't have been able to do that either. Sorry, that just kind of jumped out because you said that. And we
No. That brings me back. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, because I was saying, now you know, sharpening blades, because it was, that's just it. That's how we chop it up. It's just because he said this to me before, Brother Kareem, and this is the conversation. This is the thought pattern that I had before. Just, and again, these are theories, yes, but they're theories that are based on me reading the Bible, being familiar with the stories, and you know, just everything in my life and my way of thinking. So, yes, these are my thoughts, but this is, you know, I think when we have these type of platforms, it gives us all a chance to kind of just sharpen blades, give yourself a chance to just kind of look at it in a way that you might not have seen it previously.
Yes, sir. I mean, there are no wrong, quote-unquote, answers. I mean, again, it's from our view. When we remember the fact that there are 300, quote-unquote, 360 degrees of knowledge in the circle of knowledge, all right, if I'm on degree 35 and you're on degree 70, okay, it doesn't mean that you've forgotten what you learned when you were on degree 1 and went through to get up to 70. It's just that somebody that's on 70 is going to have, and I'm going to say it like this, in my view, a different perspective and a better view than a person that's only reached the 35th degree. You know, Allah, quote unquote, the supreme being, is the only one who can see it from all 360 points. You know, so, like you said, I mean, that's like we were taught, steel sharpens steel. This is what we do. And I'm glad that Muhammad said that when scientists get together and they begin to discuss something, they don't take whole sentences and paragraphs. They take one word. So, I mean, this is what this is about. People need to know so that they can apply practically what they're learning, what they're reading. Now,
I think Brother Jihad had a response to that. Brother,
yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Brother Jihad.
Yes, sir. Real brief. I sent that question out to various believers and non-believers. Why did Jesus pick Judas to be his helper with the knowingness of that he would be betray him? And I sent that question out, not that I had the answer to the question, but I normally send questions out like that to help me in my growth and development, because each and every one of us is a book of God, as I see.
Yes, sir.
But what stung me a little is that everyone gave the answer as if Judas was predestined, or it was predestined that he was chosen even before his birth to do what he did. If that was the case, was it predestined for him to commit suicide? And if it was predestined for him to commit suicide, is this suicidal predestined by God or allowed by God? We could say yes. But is there a law against committing suicide? Why would Allah allow him to commit suicide or predestined for him to commit suicide, you know, if he put a law out against suicide? So it made me understand more what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the question the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad asks, is God man or spirit?
Come on.
You know? Where is, who is God?
Yes, sir.
And what is, what is considered the will of God? Because we, I mean, I'm just, you know, getting more and more out of this, out of spookism.
Come on.
Because we can get real spooky and not look at the reality of things, because Jesus didn't come representing a spook God. He came representing a true and living God. And he always referred to his God as his father. I'll close on this one, Brother Kareem. I was at work, and a brother asked me a question. He said, he asked me about my children. And then we got into a marriage. He a Christian. And he was telling me how Jesus was the Son of God. But the way he was talking was like he was the literal Son of God, as if God sired this son or had intimacy with Mary.
Mm.
And I asked him one question: do God violate his own laws?
Come on.
Did he marry Mary before begetting this child? Did they have a wedding?
That's right. That's right.
You know, so, I mean, you know. I don't know if it make, I'm making any sense or being understood, but, you know, that's how I study. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that any truth should be able to withstand the depth of questioning.
That's right.
So that's why I asked that question. And thank you, Brother Rodney. You're doing an excellent job. And I take your question to heart, and I'll build on that. And inshallah, be the will of Allah, I'll grow on that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And Brother Jihad.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're not going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere. He on lockdown.
Okay, well, yeah, because I just wanted to let you know, later this week I'm going to give you a call, and because I need to discuss some things with you, but not on the air.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And before we take any more questions or anything, I need to get this out here because it's vital to our topic. Now, earlier we read about Cain and Abel, and we read where he asked the question, which is really where our topic came from. He asked God a question after God asked him about his brother. After he murdered his brother, he said, am I my brother's keeper? Now, in order to tie this all together with everything that's been shared, I need to share something very quickly from that same passages of scripture. It talks about how Adam knew Eve and she bare Cain, and then he knew her again and she bare Abel, his brother. It describes Abel as a keeper of sheep and Cain as a tiller of the ground. Now, it talks about the fact that Cain, after doing his work, brought an offering of the fruit of the ground unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Now, these are the statements. I'm going through this. I'm not going to read the entire thing. The thing is that the reason that Cain murdered his brother is because it said God had no respect unto Cain's offering, but he had respect unto Abel's offering. And so Cain became wroth. And anybody that doesn't know what wroth means, wroth don't just mean angry. It means enraged. Okay, somebody who is wroth means that they are so angry that they actually see red, and they actually don't, and they're confused. They don't even know why they're angry. That's a wroth person. This is a dangerous individual. And God asked him some questions. Asked him basically. He said, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" And to be very plain, countenance simply means attitude. You know, why has your attitude changed all of a sudden? And he told Cain that if he did well, then he would be rewarded. And if he didn't, that sin was at his door. And that his desire, that the desire of sin was going to be, sin would be his master if he didn't change his attitude. That's the bottom line. Now, it goes on to say, the part we read, it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. He lied. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, the thing I want to get to is this. If we look at that story from the Bible in the literal sense, that Cain was a farmer and that Abel was just a sheep herder, based on that, then God would have been unjust, quote unquote, to not have respect unto Cain's offering. Because let's look at this situation now, real. Let's be real and be practical. See, they didn't have John Deere tractors back then. They didn't have pesticides, either green ones or non-green ones. Okay, I can't think of the name of them people. Herbicide and all them didn't exist at that time. So that means that when Cain was out there working, he had to literally make those furrows by hand. He had to move his rocks by hand. This man was working hard. He had to go out there and keep the pests away from his plants on his own. He had to plant them. He had to guard them. He had to water them. So this man worked hard, to say, by the sweat of his brow. Now, when you look at Abel, basically, I mean, I've seen sheep herders. I've been out on farm. I mean, basically, Abel got up in the morning. He picked up his little book of scripture, whatever he might have been reading, since they didn't have Netflix at the time, or iPad. And he would pick up his books. He'd go out. He'd take his little lunch. He would go out, and the dog would go with him. He'd go over to the gate, open the gate. The dog would chase the sheep out into the field to eat grass that Abel had nothing to do with growing. Abel would sit back under a tree, kick back, read, eat his lunch. The dog would run around making sure the wolf didn't get the sheep and keep the sheep herded. At the end of the day, Abel would walk back over to the pen, open the gate, and the dog would chase the sheep back up into the pen. So if we're looking at this literally, Cain was the one doing all the work. Abel wasn't doing nothing. If we look at it literally. If we look at it literally. However, when we understand, and for those who don't believe what I'm saying, what you've got here is you got two brothers, whether they're blood brothers or sisters, let's get real with this here, that are up under the same teaching. They're in the same house. They're under the same discipline. Cain has these teachings and he gives it, but that's why he's called the tiller of the ground, because his understanding is a earthy one. It's a material one. He got people he's teaching, but the people he's teaching, they can quote it. They can look good at events. Yeah, I'm going to bring it real. However, they have no power in them to bring life, which is what this teaching is for. However, Abel, on the other hand, while he's in the field, you notice we got one that says, big fields await, are awaiting the wide awake man, yes, wide awake man and sister, to work out in, arise the dead by the thousands. See, this is all about today. This book is not about yesterday, it's about today. So Abel, notice when he brought his offering, it says Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. What is it talking about? It means that when Abel came to present his offering to the Father, to God, he not only brought his followers, he brought his followers' followers, because they had been infused with that mind, that spirit of God, to actually do the work. And so this is why Cain was wroth, because it goes back to what Brother James was saying earlier about those who are in this because they want attention. They're still suffering from what's called the ego. All right, there's a book, if you want to get it, check it out. It's called The Book of Sufi Healing. It gives you a description of what's called the nafs, the appetites, the stations of the soul, and it says that the first station we're born into is the station of egotism. It's a natural defense mechanism for us as human beings, because when we're born in here, we can't do nothing for ourselves. So quite naturally, it's all about me, me, me. However, we're supposed to grow out of that, and the majority of us never grow out of it, even into old age. But I don't have time to get into that now, back to Cain and Abel. So when it said Cain and Abel were in the field. He said Cain talked to his brother, and then when they were in the field, he killed him. Now, It don't necessarily always have to be physical murder. There is such a thing as character assassination. These are some things to think about while we're talking about this subject. Home, my place of residence, as we defined it. The social unit formed by a family living together, a familiar or usual setting, a place of origin, it says relaxed and comfortable. While we're talking about that, home is where the heart is. So my home should be in Allah, in God, serving God. I just needed to share that particular point before we move forward. And if you don't believe that what I'm saying about Cain and Abel is the truth, then go to the book of Luke. Lord, I got it here. I know I do. And go to the book of Luke. I'm in the book of Luke. I just don't see the particular verse. However, I'm going to quote it, and I may not be quoting it exactly, but it's where Jesus says unto the wicked people, I'm going to say it like that, he says that the blood of all the prophets will be required at your hand from righteous Abel. So he's telling us, Jesus just told us Abel was a prophet. He wasn't just some sheepherder. He said, so he's talking about that murder. So I'm going to leave that where it's at and leave folks with something to think about. And Queen Aziza, and thank you all for giving me that time to share that bit of information or that perspective on Cain and Abel. Queen Aziza, if there was someone else that wanted to chime in?
Yes, I think it's someone from Philadelphia. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam, Brother Hassan.
Yes, this is Brother Hassan. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. And I am extremely grateful for you, Sister Queen Aziza, and the brothers on the panel. I just wanted to make a comment. And I've been studying the Quran for some years now, and what I've discovered that Allah has said to me, and I'd like to share with people, is that there are three types of people that he has created. That is the believer, the non-believer, and the hypocrite. And he consistently reminds us that if we are Muslim, we are brothers and sisters. no matter how deep our knowledge, you know, level is, or how much we know about our responsibility as brothers and sisters, and that if we are non-believers, then we are not.
Hmm.
And if we are hypocrites, we are definitely the worst of the lot. We here in America, as Muslims, have one of the greatest yet the hardest jobs ever given any people in creation, because we live in a land that Allah gave, he created for, and he gave and he developed for the hypocrite, so that there's a tremendous amount of enmity and hatred and forces seen and unseen in this land of our endeavor as brothers and sisters in the unity of Islam against peace. You know, we are consistently bombarded with this desire from the evil of his creation. And, of course, you know, most people think it to be the best of the first world. It's the best on the planet, and we can all, you know, look up to it. But just using what I've learned and what I've heard and what I believe to be true, we have the hardest job on earth. And I pray that Allah himself makes us successful in our endeavor to hold fast as a unified body of Muslims here in the West. Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, and we have another. Yeah, we have another call from Florida. Last four numbers, 3362.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Lola Mason. I just wanted to make two comments. One on what was said just now, that God created the believer, the non-believer, and the hypocrite. I disagree with that. God said when he created man, he created him perfect, a perfect being. Man's sin, and sin has been passed down for generations. Yes, the work is a tremendous work to do, but God says that there's laborers, not laborers. He said the fields are plenty, but the laborers are few. So that means that we as laborers have the problem. We don't know how to go out in the field.
Hmm.
The other comment I wanted to make was about, did God choose Judas and know that he was going to sin? Yes, God knew Judas was going to sin, but it was not a premeditated thing. We all have choices. And when Jesus chose Judas as one of his disciples, he was giving Judas every opportunity to make the right choice, just as he gives us today. Judas, however, hid sin in his own heart. Because when you're in the presence of the Almighty, and you choose not to follow the path that is being shown to you, you're deeming yourself to be greater. And even when Judas went to hang himself, he still had an opportunity that he could have repented. So why did he choose to hang himself? Again, that was him choosing to not own up to what he did. It was an easier pour out than to accept his own behavior. And we do it every day. But yet we put a label on it. And
I
the
like
third
that.
Comment I want to
yes,
make.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Third comment I want to make is on Cain and Abel.
Yes, ma'am.
God said that Abel gave the sacrifice to the axe. Cain could have gave the same sacrifice. But Cain chose not to. And whether he toiled more than his brother, it doesn't matter. When God tells you to do something, we have to be obedient to his word. That's why we got sin in the world today. Eve, first of all, wasn't supposed to leave Adam's side. That was the first thing she did wrong. Second thing, she listened to the serpent. God said, don't eat from the tree, or whatever we want to suppose the fruit was. He said, don't. He said, I have not hidden or concealed anything from you. I'm just telling you this tree I don't want you to eat from. The choice was obedience, just like it is to us today. We choose not to obey, and then we want to blame everybody else when it points right back to ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
Why
I
said,
why you laughing, Rodney? Is that what
That's why I'm laughing.
That is the mother of our dear brother, Rodney.
My cousin.
Ain't nothing like family.
He's having a good time tonight.
she called it.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. She popped that.
That's
she
right.
I
okay,
wanted
listen,
to actually...
people. Wait a minute, y'all hang tough because we got a couple of more questions, and the chat room is mad at me because I haven't asked any more questions out of the chat room. So, Brother Kareem, can I run to the phones real quick? Then we run to the chat room. Everybody stay where you are, including you, Mother, and we'll just do it like that right quick.
Go ahead.
Okay, area code 240. You got a question or a comment? Area code 240, going once.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Waalaikumsalam,
ma'am. I just wanted to say, family, this has been a beautiful conversation, very thought-provoking. A lot of things came to mind. But one of the things that I really, and for the sake of time, the brother was talking. He said that he grew up in a nation, and he said that he, you know, all he knew was that he didn't know any white people or any other people other than his own people. And I thought about that. And I thought about how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tells us in Closing the Gap how when Allah wants to bring a thing forth, he creates the environment for that person, you know, or for those individuals. But I thought about how this the brother who spoke on that, how he only knew his people. So all he had love for his people. And you talked about it's, where the home is, where the heart is. You know, so he grew up with love for his people, and that's an opportunity that many of us have not had who have not grown up in the Nation of Islam, that we did not have the love for self, and that's major. And then later on in life and experience, you get to meet other people. But at the root of it, you love your people, you love yourself, you love your kind, and I think that's the issue with that, and that's a beautiful thing when you look at it on the other side. That's all you knew was loving your people, and most of us did not have that opportunity. So I say all praises due to Allah for coming in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and raising up the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and giving us the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because now we're going back to loving ourselves and loving our kind. So, you know, we ask, am I my brother or my sister's keeper? Beautiful. I know I'm kind of putting it all together, but you talked about so much. And lastly, about Judas, you know, I thought about Judas, and yes, I believe that it was that was his destiny. That's what he came. That's what he was supposed to do. Again, Allah creates the environment, but it was for the greater good. You know, when I look at Judas, and the brother talked about how, you know, we're in the fulfillment of prophecy. So when we look outside, look at ourselves, are we Judas to one another? Your brother talked about that Cain and Abel, and how not, it doesn't have to be a physical death, but it could be a spiritual death. It could be all God. So a lot of times we look at the scripture, but they can be, or when we have these experiences, they can be lessons to us. You know what I mean? I had an experience that was really deep, and I don't know if you want to call it a Cain and Abel experience or a Judas experience. I don't know. But I thank Allah because I sought refuge in Allah. And by me not saying nothing and going through that trial, it brought me closer to Allah, you know, and now I can say I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. You know, I say that because of my experiences, not just because someone told me that, but because Allah has brought me through things. But also I thought about this, how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has us on this topic, on this study, a study guide number 18, rising above emotion into the think of God, thinking of God. So when I think about Cain and Abel, I thought about how it was ego, it was envy. Instead, he could have just asked Allah, Allah, why didn't you choose my offering, you know, and got some understanding, but yet, you know, so that's all I want to say. Thank you so much, beloved. You all did a wonderful job. I'm going to go back and listen to this a few times. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you.
Wa alaykum salam. Okay, and we have one more call from Florida. Last four numbers, 5149. Your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
So, beloved, I'm listening to the conversation regarding Cain and Abel, and I've heard some very strong points and some opinions regarding the topic, and I feel like this is a really good conversation to be invoking, particularly during this time where we are according to the time of what must be done. And one of the things I find interesting is that during the early 90s, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan took up this very same subject matter and began to give us a very insightful understanding of Cain and Abel, particularly Cain. Of course, he taught us that, you know, most people spell it C-A-I-N, and his understanding was that it was more of a C-A-N-E. And he began to discuss to break it down by saying that the first three letters are can. And the thing that, you know, we find most interesting about, you know, can means you're able to. So tying to the mother's clarity on Cain was having the same ability to make the choice that Abel did, ties right into what I understand the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was teaching in the early 90s on the subject, where Abel means having the power or skill or means or opportunity to do something. So Cain has the same ability, so he can. But the E, he said, was for envy and enmity, having a misunderstanding of the law's decision regarding the sacrifice, that both parties feel they met their obligation. One, we know, has already been explained, was Abel and brought a lamb and the fat thereof, and the brother's explanation of his view on it, quoting Jesus in Luke, saying that Abel could mean a prophet. I found that very insightful. Well, the thing I found the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was very exemplary in showing is painting the mental, spiritual picture of how the satanic mind begins to work on the host, who, through disappointment, becomes a host now. The Holy Quran says, when an evil person has, or an unrighteous person, or an unjust, in some translations, person has brought you news, look into it carefully, lest you might hurt a people, and then be sorry or have regret or remorse for what you did when you were reminded of it, or it is being examined and exposed to you, the right and wrong of your conduct through a law. The evil person that first must be observed is our mind. When we are disappointed, the disappointment can twist and bend a person and cause them to go off. And interesting enough, it begins to weaken the host. So the host meaning the mind, not the physical body, but the mind, or the heart as most people say, but it's the mind, because the pump in our chest is not what's governing our thoughts. That has nothing to do with the process of discernment. It's the mind, so, or heart, we'll say. And the heart that becomes weakened through disappointment, or the mind, now has to have something, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, to lean upon, to continue to get upright or give the appearance of what is upright. So he said the cane is what this individual is using. He can, but with the enmity and the envy, it twisted and broke his mind because of disappointment, where he now must use reasoning to justify murdering his brother, or as the one brother says, through character assassination. But the Hebrew Bible doesn't give us an out like that. It actually translates that he murdered him. He literally killed him and took his life. To the Hebrew Bible, the Bible of the God of Israel, the Hebrew prophets, not the current King James Version we have today. That's a different book for a different religion, but that's at another time. Suffice it to say that the original text in the Hebrew Bible says he was murdered, but I'm also open to it could also mean character assassination, and I make no attempts to correct my brother, only to celebrate the insight of his intelligence to state such. So that Cain represents him now having to justify doing the thoughts that would allow him to build up the courage to commit the act or the murder. But the thing that I find with 2020 vision, you know, 5,000 some odd years from the incident, you know, with that type of 2020 focus, so I am a Monday morning quarterback on this one. However, when Abraham was brought a disappointing news by Allah that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham's example is clear for us. Father Abraham, more so not in the sense of a biological relationship to us, but in the tradition of what the mother was speaking about, which is obedience. His obedience caused him to question God and say, well, will you murder the righteous with the wicked? Allah didn't strike him down and kill him for shirk or rebellion. He loved his man so much that he put him on a course to understand, go find me 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 1. Couldn't find one, and on the eve of him accepting God's will, the fire and brimstone came down and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But my point being is Cain had the opportunity to question. Had he questioned Allah, Allah could have explained to him and then given him a prescription like he gave Abraham, so that he could come into the knowledge of things and then understand obedience is better than sacrifice. I would be a liar to the panel if I told you in Cain's position I would have felt any different. My reaction, I believe, would have been different, more to what Father Abraham would have did. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that on a normal plane of execution, you all have eloquently stated that there is a more laborious physical labor and activity in curing crops than there is raising sheep who already have the nature to eat and the dogs there and all of that. But the greatest lesson I guess we can learn from Cain is disappointment is very dangerous in the development of the human spirit. And when we find ourselves disappointed, this is when we must reach out to Allah. Allah who? The mystery God? No, I don't mean that. I mean Allah is someone of a brother or a sister who you may go to in a spiritual capacity to begin to work out your discontentment through a means of a spiritual paradigm, the best assistance possible. However, those of us who don't go and seek assistance or ask Allah like Father Abraham to, will fall victim to the disappointment like our father did 66 trillion years ago through disappointment creating a moon, which was not his agenda. His agenda, Dr. Shabazz, was to murder us all. So I just want to say disappointment is the ingredient that is going to cause us to make the mistake, not understanding that there is a greater means to it if we only ask the question why, and then be righteous enough to accept the answer when given. Assalamu alaikum.
Is this Brother Idris speaking?
Yes.
Yeah,
don't let him escape.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum
salam. Yeah. Woo. Was powerful, Brother Idris. I would like to say, you know, but that actually kind of brings, like, that brings the entire conversation together. And I'm sorry for jumping in here, Sister Aziz. I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that my mother came
online. Oh, it's not my show. It's Brother Kareem's show.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Brother Kareem, for jumping in there. But I did want to take a second just to acknowledge the fact that my mother came on the line, and I do appreciate you. Your support this evening, Mom. But like this brother and my mother both just kind of managed, and the sister that just came on from Philadelphia too, all three of them just kind of managed to bring tonight's entire conversation together very nicely, especially this brother, Brother Idris here at the end, because when you really sit back and really look at it, again, the same point that I made earlier, it's an overzealous, you know, action. It's that you know, how we perceive the information, that disappointment that we get with it. It's the same disappointment that Cain had. And it's no, you know, and it was actually in Luke chapter 11, verse 50, Brother Kareem, that Jesus actually made that quote, Luke chapter 11, verse 50. Where he says all of the prophets. And it's not just and it wasn't by mistake that Jesus referenced Abel as a prophet and Zacharias. Think about it. He was a sacrifice him his own self. And it's how we submit to the will of Allah. And again, what Brother Jihad brought up, is Allah a spirit? And or is he a man? Getting out of spookism, but being able to recognize that same governing pattern, that good and evil that is within us all, because once we actually are able to separate each other from that negative spirit, then we can actually move without being overzealous. We can still have our disappointment and our feelings can feel, we can have our feelings about it, but if we stay on that path, we'll come to that realization, that knowledge, like having that knowledge of good and evil, being able to decipher between the two. Brother James isn't really trying to hurt my feelings right now. That man is really just trying to help me to find a simple solution to a problem that I'm about to make a problem that it ain't really even a problem. So why not get out of your feelings, Brother Rodney, and keep pressing forward on what you're supposed to be doing? I did so, and here it is 3 years later, but the brother actually finally was able to just tonight, before he got off the phone, he told me that he wanted to get to know me a little bit better. And I could have stayed in my feelings this entire time. I could have not been in any assistance to Brother James. And if I had done that, then I would have pulled out before I received my own blessing. You understand? So I was able to get my own blessing only because of the fact that I stayed out of my feelings. I did not let my disappointment get to me. I did not get overzealous in my approach, because I know that there was protocol that needed to be followed anyway. And it wasn't even the situation with Brother James was a big issue. It was just really more because of just how I felt that he had looked at me or how he had overlooked me. And just looking at Cain, looking at Judas, they all followed that feeling that they had. Why was Judas able to kill himself? Why was Cain spared by God? Because they both followed the path that Allah had already set for them. They couldn't, there was no getting off of that. Cain was on that path because Allah, yes, it was his destiny. I do agree with Brother Idris. That was his destiny. It was Cain's destiny to do it. He was supposed to. He was supposed to feel everything that he felt when his brother got that. Look at the words that God even told him. Like, look, it's going to rule over you if you don't get your mind off the fact that I'm happy that I accepted his gift and didn't accept yours. You need to work towards it. That can frustrate us all. And, yes, we as Muslims do have it hard because we understand a little bit better than the Christian world, it seems, that when Jesus or the prophet or the Son of Man returns again, it will be with a sword dripping with blood. God is destruction for some of us. For some of us, this is a chance for us to clean the slate and start all over again. So I'm sorry y'all asked me to come on as a guest. Am I my brother's keeper? This is exactly how we're able to do this. Having the knowledge of good and evil is one thing. Being able to decipher between the two is another. But applying what you've learned is that difference and what will set you on the path to greatness. So we can be like Cain, you know, and in some ways Allah will bless us and not allow anybody's hand to touch us with the negativity that we put into the world. Or we can be like Judas. And Allah we can be victims of our own circumstance. So it's how you deal with that disappointment. So, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Nino.
Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I am here, and the people in the chat room are so upset with me, but, you know, okay, well, who was first? Oh, God. Sharon, I think it's Sharon. She says, we have so much division amongst our people. We must be better examples. How can you fight with people that constantly fight with you on this issue?
Well, I am going to, even though I am the host, that's all right, because this is all of our show. I'm going to go to Brother Jihad.
Oh, yeah, he's the one that would know.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
If you would field the sister's question, please.
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Yes, sir. She says, we have so much division amongst our people. We must be a better example. How can you fight with people that constantly fight with you on this issue?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the question. First, let me seek refuge with God from the rejected Satan within, the enemy within, and the enemy without. And I pray that Allah guide my tongue in answering your question. You know, first we must ask ourselves the question, who is our people? I mean, if you in constant conflict and division with these people, are they really your people?
You better
you see.
Come on.
I mean, you know, I think Minister James hit on it earlier before he got offline. When Jesus was in the temple and it was reported or conveyed to him that his mother and brothers was outside of the temple. And he said, my brothers and my mother and my brothers are in the temple with me. He wasn't being disrespectful to his mother nor his brothers. But Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke wherein he was giving those who was listening a lesson, meaning if you're keeping your duty to God, then I claim you. But if you're not keeping your duty to God, then I have to disown you. He said, on that day, many will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, I have did many things in your name. And he said that he will say, I never knew you.
That's right.
You see? It's a thing Brother Kareem hit on it earlier about the ego. And I heard Brother Nuri break that acronym EGO down. He said, ego is edging God out. And when we keep our, when we keep our duty to God, and Prophet Muhammad said, when you keep your duty to Allah, when you come to Allah hand length, he come to you arm's length. You come to Allah arm's length, he come to you 2 arms length. And when you come to God walking, he come to you running. And when you love God, he comes to you with much forgiveness. You can come to him with much sins as the world could bear, and he will come to you with much forgiveness. He will become personified within you. So the people who we are in constant conflict with, these are not the children of God. They are the children of Satan. They are the children of the devil. Jesus said it best himself when they came to Jesus claiming to be the children of Abraham. He said, I know you, for you are the children of your father, the devil, for he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Now, this the question. Who did the devil murder in the beginning? Did the serpent murder someone, or did Cain murder someone?
Come on.
Now, who was the son? Who was the devil's son then? Was Cain Adam's son, or was he the devil's son? Since he was a murderer in the beginning. And did he lie to God about his brother's death? Did he conceal his brother's death by burying it? Did the earth have to cry out to reveal where the body was laid?
Come on, Black.
So is Cain the son of Adam? Was he the son of Adam, or was he the son of the devil? God said unto Eve, I will put enmity between you and the devil's seed. There's enmity, and Cain told God, if you send me out, they're going to kill me. If there was no one else on the planet, why was he in fear of his life being sent out from the garden?
You better teach.
You see? So Adam and Eve was not, Adam was not created or made in the garden. He was placed in the garden to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was brought from among those people who was outside of the garden, who didn't look like this Cain, who didn't look like this Cain that was being placed outside of the garden because he was marked. And he was afraid that if they saw the mark or saw him, they would kill him. But back to the sister's question, every brother and sister is not your brother and sister.
Come on.
So if you are having constant conflict with these people, in most cases they are agents of the devil or agents of those alphabet boys, FBI, CIA's, COINTELPRO,
NSA. Come on.
You know. So you keep your duty to your God. You sacrifice much to your God. Take care of yourself, your family, and whatever you have left over, then you give unto your community. But yourself is first. Self-preservation, yourself is first. Then take care of your family. Then after that, give unto the community. That's what we have to do first. Jesus got baptized first before he went to baptizing others.
Come on.
And after he got baptized, he went to baptizing others. Then he taught them how to baptize others. He taught his disciples how to cast out devils. He taught his disciples how to pray. But he led by example.
Metaphorically speaking,
Jesus is the Son of God. Metaphorically speaking, he is the Son of God because there's no mortal man that can claim his wisdom.
Come on.
So every brother not your brother, every sister's not your sister. And you're going to be envied. Once, as long as you're doing the work of God, you'll see they're not in, they won't be in conflict with you. As long as you're on the right path, you'll see they'll come at you and tell you all the wrong that you are doing. But as long as you are in the dunya and the world with them, eating the vomit that you have already pooped up, they won't tell you that you're waddling in filth. When you try to do right, that's when they want to try to tell you you're doing wrong or what you're not doing right.
So continue to do right, because you're going to attract these flies, and they hope to produce maggots around where you pray. So step off. The earth is spacious. Leave them where they stand. Leave ignorance right where it's at, and keep it moving. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. Woo. Okay. Brother Kareem, I'm going to keep going as long as you tell me to.
Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
Okay, we got a question from Jacques. He says, it's time to stop using Willie Lynch as an excuse. Although there are effects from it, those of us who claim to be conscious still don't fully practice in uniting. We have division in faith, class, and culture, but no one addresses the common point for us to unite. Black people have become oppressors of one another. So any reply to what Brother Jock has said? From anybody,
yes,
everybody?
Yes, ma'am. I will reply. I agree that we shouldn't use Willie Lynch or anything else as an excuse. However, I will say this, that there are many who are uniting. There are many who are doing this work. The thing is that we have to, as Brother Jihad just said, I'm paraphrasing him now, but we got to seek out like-minded people. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Like he just said, I mean, if to bear witness to it, if you go to Message to the Black Man, you don't even have to read the text. If you go to the table of contents, the first thing he does is introduce you to who God is. Then the next thing he does is he goes into original man, and the first thing he says is, know thyself. Then he tells you to first love yourself, then understand yourself. Then he tells you to help yourself before helping anybody. So it's just a matter of seeking out like-minded individuals, and then you can go ahead on and work. You can go ahead on and work, and that's what I would say to the brother. I mean, I agree, yeah, we can't use anything as an excuse today. But as the brother just said, as Brother Jihad just said, everybody, well, Public Enemy says it like this, every brother ain't a brother, okay? All right, maybe he can relate to that. You know, every sister ain't a sister. That being the case, we have to make sure we're on the path. And then we watch the behavior of others, and then when I see how they behave, if they're doing what I'm designed to do, then I can join on to them or I can help. Yeah, so that's what I would say.
And you know, Brother Kareem, let me just say this right quick. You know, a lot of the problem is, you know, I think about 95% of the problem is that we can all sit back and complain about what is not being done. However, if everybody who had a complaint would get up and do something, the problem would resolve itself. You know, if we sit back and we wait and we look at our people and say, hey, you know what, nobody's doing anything, this is the state of our people, it's a damn shame, whatever we say, and we're not getting up trying to make a difference, then we are a part of the problem. So, Brother Jacques, wherever you are, you make the conscious effort to get up and find some like minds and unify for whatever cause you see fit in your community or in your block or in your state or wherever, however you want to do it. But, you know, don't talk about what is not being done. You have to be a part of the movement of the action that gets things done. So it only takes, well, Huey Newton says it takes only a grain of sand to change the world, to move the world. Just be that grain of sand, brother, and get up and do what you need to do. And people will join on with you who have like minds. People who are fighting you are people that you're actually wasting your time with. So I just wanted to add that, Brother Kareem.
And we got a question for Brother Jock says, can you do a part two, Brother Kareem? And Sister Lynn says, what does everyone on the panel suggest as a solution?
Sister Lynn just asked our last question. How do we correct this behavior? Come on now. And tell the brother, yes, we will do a part two. It'll be a couple of weeks, but we will do a part two. But that is, and so I would like to go to Brother Rodney first on that question. We just go around, and then we're going to wrap it up.
All right. I wanted to just say thank you before I go ahead and answer this question. Just thank you again, Sisters Aziza and Brother Kareem, for the opportunity to be able to come on the conference call this evening and to be able to give my thoughts and opinions. And I want to say that, and then, you know, just to finish it off again with the same scripture that I read earlier. Again, this is Surah 110.
Yes, sir.
Our Nasir the Help. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, when Allah's help and victory comes and thou seest men entering the religion of Allah in companies, celebrate the praise of thy Lord and ask his protection. Surely he is ever returning to mercy. The easiest way to be, you know, our brothers and our keeper is just to you know, to look at it, because I in a way, you know, I agree with everything that everyone has said today, which is as funny as it is, and that's not polytheism. It's just that I can see it from a few different perspectives, and my whole focus in life is to be able to communicate God better, to be it. The present tense of that meaning, when I say be, I mean the present tense, to communicate God effectively. And I think the best way for us to do so is to take example from everything that we've learned today. This is the way, this is our solution to this problem. Know that these type of issues will always come. If you have somebody that's of like mind of you, hey, let that brother or sister know something that you've done that is positive, that you would have been able to get productivity out of and seen good results from. And maybe they can tell you some things that they've learned, and you go from there. If you run across somebody that is not of like mind as you, which is something that you should take into consideration, that is probably going to be more of them, far more of them. As my mother pointed out earlier, the harvest is plenty. It's the laborers that are few. So if you run across somebody that is not of like mind of you, look at that as an opportunity for you to be able to communicate God more effectively, more efficiently. That's an opportunity, not as someone that is just always your enemy, because you got to be able to separate yourself from that individual. And then, you know, there are going to be times that, you know, unfortunately, I don't want to say fighting in the name of Allah, fighting in the name of righteousness, but at the end of the day, there are going to be some discrepancies. Just remember that you have to take away that feeling, take away all of the disappointment that you have, and just remember that it's how you perceive this situation, what good can be brought of this situation, and decide what character that you actually want to play, whether you want to be a Judas in a situation or a Cain in a situation, or, you know, here's a thought, how about a Jesus in the situation? You know, whatever route that you decide that you want to take as an individual, just remember that it's about your perception and how you are communicating God, how you are communicating Allah. That's my solution, and that's what I bring. So, you know, again, just remember to celebrate the praise of your Lord, and that's his protection. Surely he's ever returning to mercy. As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. All right. And Brother Jihad.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. And I would like to get your view on it because, like I said, we're going to wrap it up now. So,
okay. Let me seek refuge with the God from the rejected Satan, in the name of the God, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. And I seek refuge in his name because there's power in his name, Brother Kareem.
That's right.
And I'm a living testimony. At the age of 16, and I won't be long, but at the age of 16, I received 27 years with 3 years mandatory in a Florida state prison. And I did 9.5 years on that, been shot 4 times. And I'm saying all this as a testimony because we could be a sign or we could be one who learned from the sign. I went in the penitentiary, didn't know how to read or write that good. But while I was there, I did my time and I didn't allow it to do me.
That's right.
And while I was in there, I learned other languages. Going in not knowing how to, and you can hear it in my vocabulary, that I only went to the 6th or 7th grade. But I had a determination, a dedication, and a commitment that I said to myself that I wasn't going to return to my vomit. I can say I was a gangster. I was out there doing what thugs do. But since 1992, in coming to the knowledge of self, I haven't returned to my vomit. And I say all that the solution is don't give up. The solution to the race problems, the solution to the division among the brotherhood, the sisterhood, is what Allah tells us in the Holy Quran. He said, O you who believe, let not people laugh at people. Perchance they may be better than they.
Come on.
Or let women laugh at other women. Perchance they may be better than they. Neither find fault with your own people, nor call one another by nicknames, offensive nicknames. Evil is a bad name after faith. And whoso turns not, these it is that are the iniquitous. Then Allah says in the Holy Quran, he said, O you who believe, avoid most of suspicion, for surely suspicion in some cases is a sin.
That's true.
Spy not on one another, nor backbite one another. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You abhor it, and keep your duty to Allah. Surely God is oft returning to mercy, merciful. Then he tells us, this the ultimate solution right here in Surah 49, verse 13. God says in the Holy Quran, he said, O mankind, that means all the men, surely we have created you from a male and a female and made you into tribes and families that you may know each other and not despise each other. Surely the noblest or righteous of you with God is the most dutiful of you. Surely God is knowing, aware. So we shouldn't look upon one another color and say, you know what, just because you're white, you're evil, you're so wicked. Because I've met many brothers and sisters who is black as night and evil as hell. My brother was murdered by a black man. I was shot down by a black man, and I issued out a few, and I took a few. But this is learned behavior. The devil in the supreme wisdom, he wasn't just made. He was made and he was taught. You can throw a white man in the ghettos of North America or anywhere on the planet, and his body won't do you no harm unless it have a brain. And who taught it, devilish men? It was an original black man by the name of Yaqub. So that doesn't negate the fact that we shouldn't want to be right. We have to be right. We have to do right. We can't continue, as our brother, the questioner, asks, we can't continue to blame the white man, but we can't forget that we didn't come over here
by chance. We didn't come over here as willing slaves. We was not slaves. We was prisoners of war. So when we refer to the Willie Lynch letter, that's not going backwards. That's reflecting upon a letter that was written for our detriment. So we can refer to it. We can reflect upon it as long as we don't neglect by reflecting upon it, that's just saying that we're not coming or having amnesia to what took place 400 and some years ago. There's a reason you hear black man. There's a reason you hear black woman. There's a purpose why we're in the condition we're in. But now the chains are released off our hands and feet. Now we can get up like the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tells us, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us, the honorable Mosiah Garvey told us. We can get up and go to work and do something for ourselves. That's the solution. Let's pool our resources together and do something for self. All mankind. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jahan. Queen Aziza.
Mm. Yes, sir.
I know we're over time, and I don't want to go too much further. I want to first thank all of the panelists, including our surprise guest panelists, most definitely. I want to thank Brother Rodney's mother for her contribution. Absolutely. I mean,
thank you, Auntie.
Yes.
I love you, Auntie.
Love you.
I want to thank Brother Rodney. I want to thank Brother Jihad again. I want to thank everyone in the listening audience, everyone in the chat room for being with us. And, yes, we will do a part two. Like I said, it'll be a few weeks on that. I want to say that hopefully something that we shared gave someone who participated in this conversation some practical solutions to what's going on. Queen Aziza, very quickly, if we can get the lineup for the week, and then we're going to get out of here, because I don't want to hold folks up no longer than necessary.
Yes, sir. Okay. Join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for disaster preparedness. And, of course, they're going to be talking about the tornadoes that are frequenting our various cities across the country. So that's at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, it will be DJ Black Season, Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, I'll be right back here at 8 p.m. with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and Sister Ruth Muhammad as we discuss the trials of marriage, part two. And on Friday, join Student Minister James Muhammad as he welcomes Student Minister Demetric Muhammad. And, of course, they're going to be expounding on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's speech at Chicago State University as it relates to reparations. And on Saturday, I'll be back with Young, Gifted, and Black. I don't know what I'm going to do on Saturday. I'm going to do something. And on Sunday, join us for Brother Jamil's show, What Must Be Done. And next Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem. Brother Kareem, go ahead and give us a sneak peek of the topic next week.
Oh, we ain't got to sneak. I'll just tell you point blank. Our topic next Monday, inshallah, and that's a statement, not a question, will be, it is forbidden to eat the pig or its byproducts. And we going to get into that, and we ain't just talking about bacon.
Okay. You know I'm writing this down, right? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, that's our show for tonight. I want to thank the listening audience, all of you who joined us on the phone. I want to thank Brother Rodney's sweet, beloved mother for joining us. I want to thank my Brother Rodney for joining us tonight. And, of course, our surprise guest, Brother Jahan Amos Muhammad, who shocked us all. coming from nowhere. And, of course, Brother Idris, who graced us with his presence. And thank you, Brother Kareem, for a wonderful, wonderful, magnificent show, magnificent topic. You knocked it out the park again. So
yes,
we leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah.